Very occasionally, when conducting interviews, I'm particularly impressed by the refreshing honesty and clarity of my guests. The Youth Select Committee was established by Tynwald to give a voice to students and Castle Rushen High School students, Zara Molnova and Aidan Clark, and Chair of the Select Committee, Alex Cowley from St Ninian's High School, join me on this evening's agenda. So Alex, what is the Youth Select Committee?
So the Youth Select Committee was formed last October, and we meet once a month and have discussions in the meantime. We all joined as individuals who wanted to give a voice to the youth of the island who didn't feel they were being represented, because sometimes it's hard for your voice to be heard when the island's generation is mainly older.
And you chose to be members, didn't you? And so, Sarah, I mean, what drove you or piqued your interest in this?
Well, I think politics has always been, like, really interesting to me, because I'm going to go to uni to study politics, actually, and not only do I get to get a more in-depth view being part of the committee, but I also get to give a voice to all of the youth, and we all get to talk about and go deeper into something that we care about and we think is important.
And Alex, what was your motivation to get involved with this?
From a young age, I've always watched Question Time. I've been interested in UK politics, but then I wanted to apply my knowledge to the politics over here, and I saw the Select Committee as a good opportunity for me to actually have a feel of what being involved in politics is like.
Aidan, what was your motivation?
Well, similar to Alex and Zara, I've also had quite a strong interest in politics for quite a long time, but also I've had quite a lot of experience with the housing issues over here, and that's what our committee is doing, is looking into the housing issues. And so I came into the committee wanting to discuss those issues, and I'm happy that the committee did choose them, because that's what I'm passionate about.
What often surprises me, maybe it's people slightly older than you, but the generation that you are part of, I suppose, maybe the younger part of, is the generation which seems to have had the worst luck for the past century. You know, you have to pay to go and study. You struggle to find housing. The amount of money that you will get paid when you eventually get into work is nowhere near the amount that you would need to be able to buy a house, for example. Why do you think it is, maybe start with you, Sarah, that young people of your age are generally not that interested in politics, or am I misunderstanding?
Well, I think that there is so much going on in the world. I mean, now we have a bigger access to knowledge with the media, to politics all over the world. It can be a lot to take in, so it's difficult to even take an interest in local politics when you're so busy trying to get a wider grasp of politics in the entire world, I suppose.
Alex, I mean, it amazes me that your generation, and maybe, as I say, I'm possibly talking about people slightly older who have got into the world and realised that their responsibilities and are really quite hard to sort of meet in this difficult world that we now all live. Do you think that people, the young people that you talk to regularly, understand that their political voice can actually affect change?
I think it definitely is a 50-50. I think most of the politicians on the island obviously are older, and so it's harder for the youth to try and relate to that or to take an interest. I also think some of the issues that are raised, whilst they do affect us, it's not partially aimed at us. So then the interest is quite lost, because you can't really engage with, you know, if something's passed in Parliament, it's not actually going to take immediate effect to us.
So do you think politicians, what do you think politicians could do to engage with you more? And obviously the Youth Select Committee is one thing.
I think maybe trying to speak to the youth or go into schools and just try and hear our voices. I mean, obviously we are in the Youth Select Committee, so we are giving the youth a voice as such, but before this I don't think there was.
And then finally, Aidan, on this question anyway, I mean, what inspires you? I mean, what would motivate you to sort of set up a campaign or to speak to your MHK, to write an email, whatever it might be?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of issues that I am interested in, like housing, for example. So obviously that's a big motivator if you have a strong interest, but also then issues that are affecting people quite badly, say stuff with the cost of living, for example. You know, if people are suffering because of something, that's obviously a good motivator to try and do something about it. And a great way of doing that is obviously trying to force MHKs to do something about it by contacting them or going and talking to them.
So then, in terms of the actual committee, you were selected out of I think there were 15 applications to join the committee. There are 7 of you, I think, on the committee now, are there?
Yeah.
How did your first meeting go? I mean, start with you then, Sarah. What happened in that first meeting, and how did you decide on what your committee should do? Because you had the choice of topics, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we all came in with our different ideas. Like, me and Aidan came in with housing. There was some talk of mental health for the youth on the island. So for the first meeting, we all just came together, we kind of met each other, we put in our ideas as a group, and then we went away to find more information, and then the next meeting we decided on our topic, I think it was.
And Alex, I don't know, was it the first meeting, but sure, fairly early on, I'm guessing, you got made to be chair. What political promises did you give to be able to succeed in that role?
I didn't make any promises. I thought that I would be quite well suited for a leadership role. And after the first meeting, I went away and created a survey, which me and Zara went into Douglas and surveyed people. In order to choose a topic, we thought that it's best to try and get a whole picture of what the whole youth thought, not just us, try and be representative.
And as chair, what is your role? Because I think sometimes people misunderstand what a chair of a committee actually does. Maybe you could explain how you see it.
I think it's just quite managerial. You're just looking over things, speaking to the individual members, trying to get everyone's points together in a way that's understandable.
And Aidan, I mean, is Alex a good chair?
I'd say Alex is a good chair. Yeah, yeah. I've had no issues with her so far. she's very good at you know, sorting out the meetings and keeping them going, making sure everyone's voices are heard. And then we also have like a group WhatsApp that she set up, so we can all communicate with each other easily. So I think she's a very good chair. Yeah.
And you're not deleting your WhatsApp messages?
I'm not deleting that. I promise I'm not.
Very good. in terms of housing, then, how was that topic chosen for the committee?
Well, a few of us wanted to do housing. Me, Zara, and David, who is another member of the committee. We all thought housing was a very important issue to look at. It was important to me because I've always lived in rental accommodation, so I've had issues with landlords and rental costs and stuff like that, so it was quite an issue that was quite close to me. So that's why I wanted to do it. So we put that forward as the issue and we discussed that, and after we got the survey results back, we saw that a lot of younger people were also struggling with housing, so we thought it would be a good one to look at.
So then, in terms of the committee and what the committee can do, maybe Zara, you could give us some thoughts on this. What do you expect that you can get out of the committee? Presumably the committee will report back.
So we've already sent our survey out and we've gotten some results back, and I think we're hoping to make some changes to the way things are done. We're looking at some first-time buyer schemes. We're looking at what schemes can be set in place to help young people rent, maybe younger or Yeah, stuff like that.
So in terms of what your committee can do then, Zara, what do you do when you get this information? Presumably you'll consider all this, and then what is the ultimate final goal for the committee?
We're trying to get maybe some schemes set in place or see what needs to be done the most, maybe with first-time buyers, renting, seeing if we need like more inspections on private renting, like accommodation for people in care that are just leaving. We're trying to see what we can do to improve like housing conditions for the youth of the island.
And, of course, the people who can do that, Alex, are members of Tynwald. They have the ability to effect significant change across the island. How are you going to get your committee's views to Tynwald? What is the process to do that?
So we've already had some written evidence, which was received via the survey, which people can still access via ysc@tynwald.org.im. And our next step will be to do the oral evidence, which in our next committee meeting we'll be deciding dates and people that we want to bring in for that. And then as a committee we'll discuss all of the findings and produce a report that will be brought to Tynwald. I attended the budget programme, so I was able to speak to some MHKs already.
So then, Aidan, in terms of the discussion and the collaboration that you have as a committee, how heated does that discussion get? Because politics is often about people with differing views coming into a room and trying to have to try and persuade others on the committee of your point of view. How good do you think the committee is at debating and rhetoric and persuading colleagues?
Yeah, I think the committee is quite good. Obviously, we have some disagreements. But that's mostly in terms of what areas of housing people want to prioritise. Some people want to focus more on social housing and renters, whereas others want to look at first-time buyer schemes. So obviously there's disagreements there, but overall we all agree that we want to help young people and fix the housing situation over here. So there's not really much disagreement, and it's all very civil. It's not very heated. It's quite a calm environment.
Yeah. And which perhaps some Tynwald members might learn a thing or two.
Maybe they could, yeah.
Are your committee meetings open to the public, or are they generally private?
Our meetings are held in private, yeah, just with our members and then some clerks. That's it.
But presumably, if a Tynwald member wanted to attend, they could ask the clerk and they could come along and observe.
We have had an MLC in to sit with one of our meetings, I think 2 months ago. So they are free to come and join us if they want to, yeah.
Well, that's great. So then back to you, Zara. Housing is a difficult thing to fix. I mean, I spend a couple of years as housing minister, and I don't know if you ever played the game Jack Straws. You have to pull straws out from it. There's a big pile of things, and you have to pull one out, and you pull one out, and then the whole thing collapses on the other side. One of those sorts of games. And housing is very much like that. You make a change to try and address one thing, and then there are potentially other unforeseen consequences. Has your committee got any of that evidence yet? Presumably you will be speaking to people, housing experts in DOI and other places.
We have had some people email in with their own ideas. It is difficult to try and settle on solutions that we found, mostly because there are already solutions in place, or it would just be difficult to implement them without having to change something else. And I'm not sure if I can think of an example, but it is definitely difficult.
Presumably, the obvious answer that is glaringly obvious, if you have a housing shortage or housing is too expensive, you build more houses.
Yeah, see, this is difficult because when you look at Dandara, I think it was about 10% of their homes are made to be affordable.
Yeah.
However, this just isn't enough. And when we look at social housing, the list is so long for some people, and it might take a year or longer. And just generally, there isn't much affordable housing on the island. Like, if you don't have much in savings, you're not able to get a house and to get a mortgage. And renting is just abysmal, obviously. Mm. So,
and particularly in renting in the private sector compared with public sector housing, the differential is quite significant, yeah. Isn't it?
There's not very many restrictions on landlords on the island. For example, for me, in me and my mum's old house that we rented, the landlord wasn't even on island. They lived in Leeds. So it was very difficult for them to try and fix any problems because they'd have to come from across. And there's just very little restrictions and rules on landlords on the island.
There is legislation written for rights in rental, but none of it's actually been put through. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has the committee had any sort of deep philosophical discussion about whether rental or home ownership is the solution? Have you been at that sort of level of trying to think at the sort of first principles level whether either or is a good thing? Maybe both. Maybe a mix of everything is the right solution.
I think it's very difficult. We have had talks on it because obviously for somebody our age or, 5 years older than us, buying a house isn't really very realistic. Trying to save up for the deposit is still very unrealistic. But then if you are renting, you're spending such a large portion of your income to the rent, and then you can't save for deposit. So it's kind of a no-win situation. So we need to find to mediate between the both.
And Aidan, then, certainly in my lifetime there was a big push to say that home ownership is the answer and everyone should own their own homes, and then they would look after their homes and they would be theirs, and this would be a great thing.
Yeah.
Home ownership is really a dream for many young people now, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, the average house price over here is now £390,000, which is completely unachievable for many people. I mean, if you look back to in the 70s and 80s in the UK, almost half of people lived in social housing. People weren't really concerned about owning their own homes. They just wanted a cheap, reliable place to live, and I think that's what should be prioritised now. That's what the government seems to have completely forgotten about. They just focus on people trying to buy homes, but it is completely unattainable.
Yeah. I remember I worked with somebody, probably 30, maybe 40 years ago now, and he was saying, "See that farm there? See that farm? I could have bought that farm for £200, he said. And I said, "Well, why didn't you?" "Well, I was only earning 3 shillings a week." So but of course, the value of the 3 shillings a week compared with the value of the property, this must have been 60, maybe 70 years ago, as compared with the value of earnings now, compared with the value of a house, has changed. It's just immeasurable. Well, it's not immeasurable, but massive. There's been this massive change, hasn't there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think it's average house cost is about 15 times the average wage for on the Isle of Man. So obviously, when people are also having to pay, rents, rental costs, and all the other aspects of cost of living, they definitely cannot save up for a mortgage for something that expensive. And then also because of the fact that even though comparing the Isle of Man to the UK, UK house prices are £100,000 less on average, yet the mandatory minimum wage over here is actually lower. So obviously it's harder for people to live over here than it is in the UK.
In terms of that, the private rental, of course, it's often the case that private rental isn't that dissimilar to what you might pay on a mortgage, assuming you could manage to afford to or you were lucky enough, perhaps in the lottery, to get the house in the first place. What measures can be introduced, do you think, to try and address that? I mean, is it reasonable, for example, to curb private rental costs?
Well, obviously there's a lot of things that can be done, and that's what we're looking into as a committee. We haven't come to any conclusions yet, but obviously there's stuff like, you can do rent controls as an extreme measure if it's that bad. You can look into how the mortgage system works, because a lot of people can't get a mortgage because they can't be trusted to pay it, even though they pay their rent costs. And that should be taken into account, but at the moment it isn't. So that's something that can be looked into as well.
And Zara, then, is there anything that you've learned from this committee work that that surprised you, or perhaps things that you just didn't know that maybe you think, actually, yes, that's a penny dropping moment?
For me, one of our members, Kai, she speaks heavily. She works for St. Christopher's. She speaks heavily on the care situation on the Isle of Man, and I had no idea that so many really struggle to find housing on the island, mostly because many landlords won't take them in, and the housing that they are provided to live in after care is awful. And I didn't really have any idea of that before I came into the committee, but she came in, she told us about it, and she said this is something that she wants to focus and look at, and I think it is something that's like really important.
Is resolution of the housing problem that we have, I mean, let's call it by its name, the housing crisis. That's what most of the 24, if not all of the 24 elected MHKs said about housing during the election campaign. Is this something that can be solved by putting more money into the problem, or is it more complicated than that, do you think?
I think it is a bit more complicated, because obviously you have the issue with private renting, which is pretty difficult for the government to try and fully observe and to control.
But Alex, I mean, you mentioned that there is, or there have been, various iterations of a landlord and tenants bill. I mean, there was one that almost got through the House of Keys during my time, and I lost my seat back in 2016, so we're 8 years on, and we're still talking about possible legislation. Why do you think it's taking so long to introduce this sort of legislation?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I'd say there's different various departments that they used to be able to produce like 12 bits of legislation and put them through, but now it's only 4 that they can do a year, so it's a major decrease. Just linking on with Zara's point, in the budget this year, only £1 million was allocated to housing, which is a really low amount if you compare it to other things, and just how many projects the government goes over on budgets by millions, and this is only £1 million has been allocated to housing. I don't think it's necessarily a question of it needs more money or funding, which is an aspect of it. I think the systems that are in place, they need to see how effective they actually are, and different departments that are accountable for them, making sure that they are actually keeping the standard it should be.
It's great to hear such passion for politics from Tynwald Youth Select Committee members Zara Molnova, Aidan Clark and Alex Cowley. So what do you think? Can the Select Committee slice through the political rhetoric and deliver sustainable working solutions for the island's housing crisis? After 2.5 years, Tynwald has only begun to scratch the surface of our housing problem, so should the youth have more of a say on delivering solutions? There'll be more from Zara, Aidan and Alex on next week's agenda. For now, though, I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayos and Geisha Chrom. Thanks for listening.